Good morning.
Good morning.
Just a brief word about the service this morning. The hymn of the day, the hymn we sing before the sermon, is going to be sung two different times, different verses. The first part will be verses 1 through 5, I believe, and then the second part, which will come after the sermon, instead of the offertory that we normally sing, we'll be singing the stanzas 6 through whatever it ends on. But that's in your bulletin. I just want to draw your attention to it so that you know it's printed in your bulletin, which stanzas are sung in each spot. So, just so you know. Okay. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess unto God. Confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Bless our God, O peoples. Who has kept our soul among the living? Blessed be God. Come and hear, all you who fear God. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, the giver of all that is good, by your holy inspiration, grant that we may think those things that are right, and by your merciful guiding accomplish them. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The first reading for this morning is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 10, beginning with verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened through all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. This is the word of the Lord. Christ has risen from the dead. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. The epistle reading for this morning is taken from 1 John chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandments, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Let us join together in declaring our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Years ago, I'm talking probably in the early 90s, maybe around 94, I remember a friend of mine who was a Lutheran, and he was kind of complaining about the sermons he was hearing because he said it's always about love. Well, don't you feel that way sometimes? Why do we always talk about love? And of course the answer is, well, God is love. How can you not talk about love? And that's what we hear in 1 John. We hear John telling us about our relationship that has begun through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. He talks about water and blood, and these testify about Christ. In the gospel lesson, we hear Jesus talking about love, you know, and listening to his commandments and following those commandments. And then, of course, in the book of Acts, we hear Peter, who is talking to a house filled with Gentiles who wanted to hear from Peter. In fact, they had a message from the Holy Spirit that they should get Peter to come over. Well, you know, at this time, Peter had been pretty busy proclaiming the gospel to the Jews throughout Galilee, Judea, all of Jerusalem. But he wasn't going to the Gentiles at this point. And so we hear that this message that he gives to the Gentiles. And it's the same one he has been giving to the Jews. And he begins, well, you know all the things that have taken place. Of course, he does mention that he and the other apostles are eyewitnesses of these things. But he talks about Jesus' death and resurrection and how Jesus showed himself to many people. Mainly, he first says, to us, that is, the apostles. But the testimony is that Jesus is alive. And this is the message that Peter proclaims. And as Peter is doing so, the Holy Spirit comes upon the Gentile family, those who are called the uncircumcised. And those who are called the circumcised, who were there with Peter and witnessed what has taken place, are amazed that God's grace is extended even to them. In fact, Peter is so certain about what has taken place that there is now faith in these Gentiles. What is it that prevents them from being baptized? That is, he says, let them be baptized as we were. Already they have received the baptism of the Word, and that Word has created faith in their hearts. Now, Peter declares, I understand that this good news is for all people, all nations. And what a wonderful message that is on this Sunday of the season of Easter. We are reminded again of what God has done for us and what that means to us. I think sometimes, especially this hymn that we had just sung, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice, especially when you sing the first three verses. Because when you hear those verses, my mind automatically goes to the author of this hymn, Martin Luther. Because when you know Martin Luther's story, you understand how he struggled with the commandments of God. And they didn't give him a lot of joy, because he had believed at the time that he had to be perfect and he had to keep God's commandments in order to be saved. But as he struggled with it, he found not only his flesh testifying against him because he couldn't do it, but also Satan was constantly badgering him with the fact that he couldn't do it and he would have no salvation because he couldn't do it. Luther was just plain guilty.
So as much as he struggled, he found he had no way out of this. But as he continued on his journey in God's word, that sweet gospel that Peter proclaims, Luther hears in a new way for the first time. It's not about Peter. It's not about Luther. It's about the one who came, Jesus the Christ. This is the one whom the prophets declared would come. This is the one whom the apostles testify to having seen alive. In fact, they say, you know, we were with him for 3 years. We were there. We learned from him. And now we share with you those good gifts God has given us. That is the gospel. And they also share with them the importance of the means of salvation. The word comes to us through the Spirit of God. Baptism, of course, the water. And Holy Supper, the blood of Christ. These things Jesus has given us to strengthen us in our faith and so that we may be reassured upon reassurance that we have the victory. We have the victory, we are told, through faith. It is by grace we know, but it is through faith that we can claim the victory that Jesus accomplished for us. For when he came into the world, he came for our good. He fulfilled the law for us. He died for us. He was raised for us. So that we could be a new creation, a new people in God. Jesus talks about one time having called the disciples servants. But he says, now I call you friends because I have revealed to you the will of God. And you know it and you believe it. You are my friends. You know, we live in a time when it seems hard to know who your friends are. Maybe it's always been that way. People don't always live up to our standard of what a friend ought to be. All we really want from our friends is trust, respect, and they want the same thing from us. To be heard. To listen. That's what we want from our friends, so that we can share with them our life and perhaps even get an opportunity to share the life of Christ. And you know, I think our friends kind of look for the same thing. But above all, I think true friends love one another. And that's what Jesus talks about. That's what John talks about, loving one another, because we who have faith have the victory. And we are to follow the commandments of God. Indeed, we really do follow them to the best of our ability. But the thing that changed for us is the same thing that changed for Luther. Luther knew that this struggle in this life was always going to continue. But the difference was Jesus. He's the difference. He makes all the difference. Because the commandments of God are no longer burdensome, but they are light. They're not burdensome because we're not being judged by God on account of whether or not we keep the laws perfectly. You get it? That's what Luther got. Why? Because of Jesus. Faith in Christ. That's what John says. It is through faith. You have the victory through faith. We have the victory through faith. We don't have to worry about ourselves. So long as we love the Lord, we know He loves us. And it makes all the difference in the world because now we have the same desire to love our friends. And I say our friends in the sense that Jesus says it and in the sense that John says it. That is, fellow believers. We love one another as He has loved us. Jesus says, greater love hath no one than to lay down his life for his friends. Jesus said, you are my friends. You are my friends. To the apostles, he said these words because they trusted him and they believed. I lay my life for my friends. But in fact, we know he laid down his life for his enemies as well. So the love of God extends beyond those who know him. It goes out into the whole world, to all nations, as Peter discovered. It isn't just for one group of people, but for all people together. We are made the family of God, and we are friends of God if we keep his commandments. Now, how do we keep God's commandments? Jesus says it is light. Sometimes it doesn't seem like a light thing to do. I know for myself, I always did not keep the fourth commandment very well. I don't know about you. You know the fourth commandment. We all know the fourth commandment. To love those who are our parents and show them respect. But we also learn from the catechism, it doesn't stop there, but includes all those who are in authority over us. Now it seems to get a little more difficult. Though the first part is difficult enough. Did anyone in this room never sass their parents? Did anyone in this room ever think to themselves, I know more than my parents? We're all guilty. Did anyone in this room ever complain when your parents said for you to do something? Perhaps pick up your clothes in your room. Keep your room clean. Make your bed in the morning. Do the dishes. That's my favorite thing to complain about, doing the dishes. No dishwasher. I was a dishwasher. Do the dishes. I complained. I complained all the time. My mom one day said, why do you always complain when you do? I ask you to do the dishes? What makes it go better? Yep. Yep, I broke that fourth commandment a lot. And the fifth commandment. Well, I've never physically killed anyone. But I have hated some people in my life. And Jesus said, well, then that's the same thing as murder in God's eyes. Sixth commandment, adultery. We live in an adulterous generation, but so have all generations. People cover it up, but many people have broken that commandment in more ways than not, because what we learn from the catechism is this doesn't just mean adultery, that is, going outside marital relationship, but in any way that anybody has an impure thought or acts upon anything sexually outside of marriage. So there you have it. We're not freed up at all from any of these things. What about coveting? Has anyone never coveted? See, we'd all be headed in the wrong direction if you really were truthful about it, and that's what Luther thought about himself. He just couldn't quit sinning. The commandments were burdensome, but Jesus says they aren't burdensome. Why? Because it's about love. And we are children of God, and God is love. And if we are children of God, then we too have this love. How can we not? God resides in each one of us. We have God's love. You know, a few years back, several years back, you remember that WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know, the thing was, that was a synod-wide thing, too, and I think it probably was among many Christians, but I used to hear it all the time. What would Jesus do? Well, you know, it's a good question, but a better question would be, Well, how would Jesus love this person? How would God love this person? Because that's how I want to love this person. The way Jesus loved this person. Not because I have to. That doesn't come into mind. What comes into mind is, I want to love like Jesus did, because he is my brother. And he has shown me the way. I don't think to myself, well, I've got to keep these commandments, or God's going to give me a bad failing score and I'm not going to get into heaven. See, we know that's not the truth, because that's not what God has done for us. We know Jesus came into the world as a servant to serve us and to die for us. But now we know he also reigns. He's no longer a servant, but he's our Lord, and he's our master and our brother and our friend. He's all of these things. He's the good shepherd we heard about. He is the door. He is the only way. His name is the only name whereby men and women and children must be saved. There is no other way of salvation. That's why John says we have the victory through faith. Faith. That's taken care of. The only thing left for us as children of God to do is to love one another. Love God and love one another. For love is the fulfillment of all the commandments. You see, we don't think to ourselves, well, I've got to do this. We should be thinking, I want to do this. Not that we can think that, but the Spirit of God which dwells in you pushes you in that direction. You might not want to go in that direction, but the Spirit of God pushes you in that direction. If any among the fellowship of God's household ever should have a quarrelsome moment with one another, then they need to say, how can I love this quarrelsome person? And hopefully they're saying the same thing, the way Jesus did. How did Jesus do it? Well, he died on the cross. We don't have to go that far, because his dying on the cross was for our forgiveness. Ah, we can forgive. And we can move on, because we don't live in that sin any longer. It is past. How do we love one another? How did Jesus love? We can ask. How did he do it? That might be some help to us. Because now I'm talking about not how to live so that we can have salvation, but sanctification. How do we, as faithful people of God, continue in a sinful world? Are we models to the world of God's love? Then maybe we need to be praying to God that he would help us model that kind of love and that kind of person that God wants us to be. Because interestingly enough, if we're doing all these things, Jesus says, you know what? When you pray and you ask in my name, you will receive it. Lord, help me to love. You will receive it. Not sometime in the future, but at that moment, you have received. God gives us so many good things to help us. John says three things bear witness to the truth of who Jesus is. First, the Spirit bears witness. Then the water, we might say, at his baptism, where the Spirit descends upon Jesus and fills him with power. And he goes out into the rural world, as Peter says, and he heals those who are sick, and he proclaims the good news. The water, the blood on the cross. Jesus suffered and died for us. Interestingly enough, you know, John is the only disciple of the apostles that witnessed the soldier that pushed the spear into Jesus' side, where water and blood gushed out. Isn't that interesting? And he says, these three things witness to the truth of who God's Son is. It's those three things that work to bring new life to those who are lost and outside the kingdom. It's the same three things that has been working in your hearts ever since you believed, or ever since you were baptized as an infant. These three things: the Spirit, water, and blood. For in baptism we are crucified with Christ and made alive. The blood of Christ is washed over us. In the sacrament of the altar, we receive into our mouths the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins, but also as a testimony of Christ's death for us. We show forth, Jesus said to his disciples, what he has done on the cross. St. Paul says this, that we show forth the death of our Lord Jesus. It is these things, the means of grace, that God gives us daily, not just on Sunday, but daily, as we remember Christ's death for us, as we remember into whose life we have been baptized and whose life dwells within us. And the Spirit testifies to all of this and says, Amen, Amen. That is, it is true. It is true. Amen. Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Let's join in singing the rest of, let's sing the rest of this hymn. Please rise. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all our needs. Blessed God, you do not reject our prayers or remove your steadfast love from us. Hear us now and answer us in your love for your whole church and for all people according to their needs. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, you invite us to freely come and bear and hear your word. Bless and increase our faith that we may rightly fear you and learn that you have done what you have done for our souls. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all, you make known the good news of peace through our Savior Jesus Christ. Bless and direct the work of our missionaries, that in every nation there would be people who fear God, do what is right, and believing in Jesus, receive forgiveness of sins through his name. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, your Son in his incarnation took on our human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. He submitted to his mother, honoring and obeying her, so fulfilling the commandment where we have not. On this Mother's Day, graciously accept our thanksgiving for our mothers whom you have given to us. Teach us to honor them aright, loving, obeying, and giving thanks for them as it is fitting in your sight. Strengthen all women with child and give them safe delivery. Comfort all women who long to have children but cannot, that they may find their consolation in you and your unfailing love. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Father, you rule this world by your established authorities in ways that we do not always understand. Yet in the name of Jesus, we may ask you anything freely as friends and sons. Bless our nation's leaders and cause them to serve wisely for our good. Give earthly peace and justice that is in accord with your commandments and the order you have revealed. Bring an end to injustice, violence, and disdain for your truth, and let us receive all good with thanksgiving. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, the giver of all that is good, grant your healing and support to all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Especially, we lift up to you Pastor Scott and Judy Stallings, Carol and Larry Foltz, Jan Johnson, Annie Mae Cornick, Robert Galbias, Alfred Durson, Jennifer Jenny Turner, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Gloria Habman, Pat Bias, Carl and Jackie Rush, Robert and Donna Knoth, also Bob and Joni Murdoch, Jess London, and Brooklyn McIntyre. Give them also the gift of your grace to accept and bear their crosses with faith in you, that finally they would be prepared to depart this life and receive the gift of eternal life in your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, at the death of your Son, you gave the testimony of your Spirit in the water and blood that poured from his wounded side. Grant that having received this testimony in the water of baptism, we may also receive it in the body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Supper, and so overcome the world by our faith in him. Lord, in your mercy. And to your hands, Father, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, and most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto everlasting life. Go and depart in peace and joy. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Are there any announcements? Okay. You don't have anything?
Cheryl Davis.
Peggy?
That's right. We're celebrating the Mother's Day and Cheryl's birthday.
Right.
Cheryl,
we are. How old are you going to be?
I have reached the golden age. Tuesday.
All right. The golden age, huh? Thank you for the help on the blessing at the end of the service. Peggy, you got anything to announce about the family that you wrote up here?
Yes, I think most of you know that Joni Murdoch is the interpreter that's come many times with Becky to work with Dylan and with Becky as well. And Bob is her husband. He is in the hospital with COVID and has a pretty severe case. In fact, they're really praying that he will live. So we're praying especially for Bob. Joni also has it. So does her daughter, Jessica. And Jessica is the mother of the two little girls that she always brings. One's in Brooklyn. And they're very close to their grandpa. So family is really coveting our prayers for him that he will recover.
And Joni always responds.
Yes,
always
whenever I post anything on the prayer chain, she responds. And she and the women in her church sent me multiple cards when I was in the hospital. I thought that was just amazing.
Yes.
And Susan lost her mother, and she was buried yesterday, so keep Susan.
Maxine got the word too late to put it in the bulletin.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I didn't include it on my bill.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep her in our prayers. Yeah. We'll keep her in our prayers and the family. All right, let's rise and close with the hymn 469.